Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob's Boneheads.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Might buy me some ticks or a house in the sticks. Couldn't afford the ticks. I just want to keep singing, keep pounding. I wish Apple or Spotify would put that on their playlist.
They should.
I mean, it will be bumped in my garage on Friday night. We should, like, interrupt Nathan's wedding dance song with it.
I like that. That'd be good.
Yeah. You, 150,000.
I think he's in this week for Mac before his wedding, so we can make sure we ask him about that. Yeah.
He's in on Thursday.
Can we ask what's on the menu? Is that rude to ask if you're, like, a wedding
I
goer?
I was told. Now, I don't know if
you're
this was true.
To be surprised?
He had said to me in passing, and I don't know if this was, he meant this. He said, we're getting 50 Minsky's pizzas. And I'm like, oh.
Let's go. Oh, I'm missing out. Oh, that's great.
You're going to Spain. You'll be fine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll get you a slice of pizza at the back end, okay? What's that? Oh, my God, I'm going to cancel my trip for some Minsky's. It's great pizza, there's no doubt. It's not worth canceling a trip to Spain for. So, no. Minsky's, bring Mac some pizza.
Yes,
I'd be more
please.
Than happy to sample the za for
somebody
you.
In the text line says, the Missouri State bird is a stink bug. Who wouldn't want to coach there compared to Florida, LSU, or happy? I'll tell you what, man, you think the stink bug's the problem. You go to Florida, man, you got a mosquito the size of your head. Dude.
And then you got to deal with Floridians.
Well, you got to deal with Missourians.
Yeah, there is that, yeah.
It's both. Come on, man, that's my state, dog.
A lot of new New Yorkers may be moving to Florida, too, so you got to deal with that.
You want me to send you some pictures of the voting line at the library when I leave after here?
You think it's going to be long?
Oh, no. Baby, I'm in Lee Summit, baby.
Yeah.
And it's the same. I mean, it won't be long, but it'll be, oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
I am the youngest one there by about 4 years.
I was
going to
say, you're the youngest. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not even close.
And they,
yeah.
they love to tell you, even though there's 6 signs, it says voting polls that way. Over there to your, thank
well,
you.
Well, they've got all the volunteers. This is a big day for the elderly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big day for the elderly.
Oh, yeah. Because here's your sticker.
Yep, the sticker's big, but the bus will come. The senior bus will come and pick
good.
Them all up.
I like that.
Taking the vote. May go get them a bowl of kasha.
Ooh.
Bring them back home. It's noon. They've had a day.
Yep.
They've had a day.
Yeah.
And then the ones who are volunteering at the polls, this has been on their schedule for a year.
I feel
they've been looking
them.
Forward to this. Marge and Betty and Helen and Dorothy, they're all going to be gathered and they're all going to be there in their blouses and their What's the word that polyester pants? And they're going to be ready to direct you to that voting booth, young man.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to thank you for showing up today to
vote.
Make
sure you fill those circles in.
Make
completely.
Sure you get a wet kiss from all of those old senior citizen ladies with a red lipstick, a really big wet spot on your face.
Oh, America.
God, it's heaven.
Can you go live at the voting booth?
No, unfortunately, you can't.
That'd be a hell of a day there. Just walk in there with my brown shorts, my shoes, socks to the shins, and just start singing, "Would you 150,000.
What would you do?
Perfect.
Yeah, dog. Somebody says big day for the Oats bus. There you go. Hell yeah, dude. I love talking to those people too.
You know, like I used to vote at the other library, but since they built this,
well, that's great. Grant.
Yeah, great. You voted there in the 30s. Great. That library is gone.
I love going out. They better give me my damn pen with the soft spot on the end so I can use it on my smartphone. Anyways, boneheads of...
Well, I was going to say my parents had eye surgery together, right? Because they do everything together, like everything together. Mm-hmm. So my dad, I guess, needed cataract surgery, so my mother decided she needed it too. They did one eye at a time. They took three times to get the third eye done because the laser was broken all three times. Geez.
Third eye blind, once said, never let you go.
Exactly. So they all walk around with this one eye with a patch for weeks. How are you getting around? Oh, the bus picks us up and takes us.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
You think she pops over to the cubicle and goes, on the third judge, honey, you're not supposed to share.
Oh, yeah. They probably tried to go to the voting booth together. Again, everything together.
He walks in. They got Maker's Mark over. It's not supposed to be there, Mr. Fesco.
My dad's like, can I use the restroom, Marlene? Okay, I guess it's time and lets him go. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I love voting.
So my bonehead of the week, I sound very hypocritical, I think, in all of this. After assessing the situation now at the halfway point of the season, the Giants probably should have fired everybody at the end of last year. And at the end, when the season ended, I was like, let's give Daboll one more opportunity with a quarterback and whatnot. And they've got that quarterback. He's good, but the results are still the same. The defense has quit on this team. There's been obviously a lot of injuries that have taken its toll on this team. But every week I see Brian Daboll now on the sidelines acting like the fool, yelling, screaming, fighting with refs, all kinds of stuff. And I look at that and I go, you brought Jackson Dart in under this regime, and this is the worst possible scenario that you are going to have to make a change at head coach and clean house. And now you're giving your young quarterback, his second head coach and second offensive coordinator, really his third in three seasons when you count in college, you're not setting your quarterback up for success. You've got to bring somebody in that speaks his language. Dusty has suggested Lane Kiffin. I don't really hate that idea of bringing him in. When they drafted Mahomes, the first phone call Andy Reid made was to Cliff Kingsbury to find out what this kid does well, what he doesn't do well, what can we work on, what's his, you know, his talents and all that kind of stuff. So there's something to be said for that. But the more I watch this thing, the Giants had a plane again flying over. The fans are tired of this stuff. It's a yearly tradition with this franchise. They need to find that right head coach. And until they do, it's going to be a colossal mess. So my bad Tuesday, my bonehead of the week, the Giants for sticking with Brian Daboll, even though I thought so at the time. Turns out I was wrong on that one. They should have moved on from the coach if they knew they were going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, because, man, I think you might have said it, but they showed his like first year 7-2, and then he went like...
They were 11-5 and won a playoff game his first year.
Yeah, it was like through 9 weeks in his first year, he was 7-2, and since then, the last 3 years, 2-7, 2-7, 2-7.
It's just unbelievable.
And like you said, I think I mentioned this as well, like you can't have your leader in a time of distress being out there pissing and moaning and, you know, being a you-know-what head, and then all of a sudden, you go to your quarterback, who you're obviously in love with, and be like, hey, man, whatever you want to do. It's like, that's a bad look.
Yeah.
Even though everybody knows that Jackson, because, I mean, we're starting to hear people that have been in the league for years that are now analyzing the game, being like, okay, this kid has it. Like,
and maybe it doesn't matter if you switch to coach because he's got it, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes is exceptional because of Andy Reid. He'd be really good without Andy Reid.
The only problem
is
there's 52 other people on that team. There's not just one. And I understand that, like, you know, we always do this, and it's unfair to everybody in the league that you go back to Andy and Patrick. Well, that's a special relationship, right? Like that's right. Like that's different. Whereas the biggest pro and maybe the biggest con to Daboll was the development of Jackson Dart, because now it's like, okay, dude, like you can save your job if you think this guy's the guy, then like he better be the guy, and he seems to be. Again, we'll have another year of video next year on Jackson Dart. But just like his poise, his legs, his arm power, his vision, it's there, dude. He doesn't quit. So that's at least there. But then the other thing, too, is that you look at it and it's like, yeah, but now that you have him, like, you've let the rest of the team, you know, dissipate underneath your watch.
And it has.
Also, you look like an ass on the sideline. And like,
and you gave up 33 in the fourth quarter.
And other people
and
see
you,
that.
You told the whole franchise you need to get rid of Daniel Jones. He sucks, he sucks, he sucks. He's right. A top five quarterback without you. That's correct. Your biggest detriment, you in my
also,
opinion.
You also good said point. It's not working out with Saquon Barkley here.
Well, that was ownership more than Jayball, yeah. Though. That one's on the owner.
True, but use your, you know.
We have the video evidence of the owner saying
yeah,
that.
I mean, that I was, mean
you know. Dayball should be pissed at him for giving up on Saquon Barkley. But yeah, I think you're right about that, Mac. The Daniel Jones success right now is the biggest indictment for Brian Dayball. You spent 2 years telling us how bad this yep. guy was.
I can't succeed. I can't do what I do. Right. I'm an offensive guy. What am I supposed to do? I need a quarterback. Come on, give me something.
And look, he was bad in New York. There's no question doubt. About it. But to have that kind of changeover immediately in Indianapolis.
Eye-opening.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Dayball moving forward, but I don't think he's going to be here much longer. Coming up on the other side, Miss the Boat will explain why here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back on 96.5 The Fan on a Tuesday. It's a beautiful day. Mac, it's going to be 72. You got to be grilling today right before you go to Spain. You got to be careful with the groceries, though. This is when you get to buy like Dusty. Buy a meal tonight.
Yeah, one a day kind of thing. Yep.
Yep. There you go. Clean out that fridge and let it go to work. Dusty sent me an Instagram of cooking the perfect turkey breast on ooh. The grill. And
I think I'm going to do a turkey breast this year instead of a full turkey.
It looks good.
Okay.
I've been told it's a lot better. I'll see in the video.
Yeah.
The breast everybody wants the breast meat anyway.
Mm-hmm. Nice and juicy.
Yeah. Ooh. Nobody wants. My grandmother used to eat the neck.
Ooh. Save the neck for me, Clark.
Yep, and she would eat that thing, and like, I don't know, man, whatever. She was also raised in the Depression, and so they ate everything, you know. But
she probably had more Tupperware than actual dishes.
Probably, or maybe not, I don't know. But like the leg, I don't know, the wing, you know, some of that kind of stuff. Just yeah. I always want the white meat. I always want the breast. Yep. So the breast is the way to go.
Give me that turkey breast, baby. That's where it's at. It's juicy.
Mm-hmm.
It's juice all over the place.
Better believe it. Miss the Boat is the topic here. Over the last 2 years, teams are running the ball between 5 to 7% more of the time than they did prior to 2024. Teams are averaging over 4 yards per carry across the league. Did the Chiefs miss the boat on
I spent way too much time yesterday thinking about that, right? And I was like, what's going on here? What
There's
am I missing?
Renaissance
right?
and running backs.
But there really isn't, though. That's the thing. It's not like a huge number. I was hoping to see this chasm of this huge gap. Like last year, they started running the ball more, and now they're running it even more. They're really not running that ball that much more. 5 to 7% of the time isn't that much. The yards per carries aren't more than they used to be. But 5 to 7% in a game, and those plays are successful, then they do become big plays, right? So they're not running the ball that much more, but when they do run the football right now that much more, the Chiefs are, I think, having a much difficult time of stopping it. And, you know, this is one where maybe they misevaluated the situation. I'm not talking offensively. I'm talking from a defensive standpoint. And I'm not talking just about the Chiefs. We've kind of seen a renaissance in the running game around the NFL. You guys have kind of talked about it for the last couple of years. And maybe we're seeing a renaissance in the running game in the NFL because teams put so much time and effort into building their defenses to stop the pass, they forgot about the run. And I'm not just talking about the Chiefs in this category. There's a lot of teams out there right now that look like they can't stop the run. The Giants being one of those teams. The Bengals, obviously, being one of those teams. The Cowboys being one of those teams. Everybody that we've seen recently, the Bills can't stop the run, right?
Until they can,
right? And so maybe these defenses right now in the NFL, Chiefs included in this one, but not just by the Chiefs themselves, maybe the league from a defensive standpoint misread where the offensive running game was going over the last couple of years. And they spent so much time and effort in getting defensive backs and getting linebackers that could be in coverage and safeties that could cover. It's like everybody always forgot about the running game. And as you know, when you start a week off in the NFL, every coach will tell you, or college, or Pop Warner, or whatever league you're in, the coaches will always say, keys to the game, stop the run and run the ball. And then they say that, but do they really mean that? And I think this year in the NFL, you're going to have to stop this run. And so, to me, we're talking from a Chiefs perspective, but I think it's a bigger picture in the NFL. I think the offense has quietly reintroduced the running back, and the defense has really didn't recognize it. Now here we are midway through the second season where the running back has kind of been reintroduced, and teams are having a tough time stopping them. That's why you need to go out there and make a move from a defensive line standpoint. You need more bodies to stop the run that most teams in the NFL weren't really thinking about when they assembled their defenses.
I think the biggest problem for me where they missed the boat is free agency in the offseason, because I look at three of the top five running backs per rushing yards in the NFL, and three of these guys were available to pick up on what they got from their teams that the Chiefs could have done. Now, maybe this is playing with your cards close to your chest, or, you know, believing in the guys that you know that you had. But Rico Dowdle, number three in the NFL in rushing yards. Javonte Williams, number four in rushing yards. And J.K. Dobbins, number five in rushing yards in the NFL. All three, I believe, were available in the offseason that you could have gone and picked up, given that 1 year, prove it deal, and then moved on. And think about how much better your offense would be if they would actually, you know, utilize these. That's the other thing, too, is like, we talked earlier on, you know, in this season that Andy Reid, when he got Patrick Mahomes, like, you know what, this is the way. This is the new NFL. Andy Reid has always kind of proven that he will adjust to the times. One thing he has, no pun intended, helped Pat too, is that they just aren't a running team.
They're not.
Because they don't go get the running back. They brought back Kareem Hunt for the one-yard run. Isaiah Pacheco has now shown in three consecutive years that he's kind of injury prone, which we kind of saw that coming the way that he runs the ball. Mm-hmm. But Javonte Williams, 716 yards rushing. Dowdle, 735 yards rushing. And J.K. Dobbins, 695 yards rushing. And you can say a lot of that is because, okay, Bo Nix, maybe he's not the dynamite passer that you want. And you look at Javonte Williams, he's got Dak Prescott. And maybe Rico, because he's got Bryce Young, they're using him more. But again, like, those guys were available. And, like, now we're talking about what do you want at the trade deadline. And those guys are names that you could literally have been like, hey, instead of having to add what we want for me and Mac, I think, as like a Breece Hall type running back, you could have had that guy for that cheap contract and could have been just the 1 year guy, and you wouldn't have to give him any picks. You wouldn't have to spend a whole lot of money. And like somebody says, J.K. Dobbins, I mean, he was here, man. Like, we could have, I mean, and again, they missed the boat on that because they knew what they had receiving wise. Mm-hmm. And they knew what they wanted their offense to be. But the one thing that I think is an eyesore on this offense is that now teams are just going to be like, okay, run the ball. We'll give you 50 yards a game for 4.0 yards a carry. It's not going to sustain because you're going to go back to what you do more often than not, and that's throw the ball.
Well, that's why you don't go get a running back. This organization has never valued the running back under Andy Reid. They've never invested in the running back under Andy Reid. They haven't, and there's no player in 13 years. But I'm talking about from a defensive standpoint, okay? We got our offense right now. It's not changing. The defense is easy to change. The defense is easy to move around. The defense is easy to make more adjustments to, because guys can do, all right, go out there and stop the run. Go out there and rush the quarterback. It's not that hard. It's not, you know, a playbook. You're not playing to as many skill sets as you were on the offensive side of the football. I think maybe they missed the boat on the defensive side. That's what I'm talking about, and that's the concerning part for me, because I believe the defensive part can sort of be fixed if you go out and make a move for a defensive tackle. You can do that. I have no interest in going out there and getting a running back or an offensive skill player. We have seen those guys come into Kansas City, and Danan even said it today. They've offered nothing. Every guy that we brought in from an offensive standpoint midseason has done nothing to move this team forward. It is time to focus all of your efforts on the defensive side of the ball and try to move it forward from that standpoint.
Let's go on to our guy for the pre- and post-game show host on the Chiefs Radio Network, Josh Briscoe.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
That's right. We go out to Josh Briscoe now as we talk to him on the approach of the deadline, of the trade deadline in the NFL. Briscoe, what do you want? Defensive line help or running back help?
Well, I just got some upsetting news from my agent. Apparently, I'm being shopped around. So, I mean, I got my own issues to deal with today, I suppose. No, I think I'm going defensive line. I think that there was a pretty clear takeaway of what went wrong on both sides of the ball with Chiefs-Bills. And sometimes this complicated sport is relatively simple. And a good way to simplify it is to get pressure on the quarterback or prevent your quarterback from being pressured. I think the Chiefs O-line will be better than what we saw on Sunday. But I think the pass rush is a legitimate need. I think it was a legitimate need throughout most of the offseason, though. So I'm very, very curious to see how the Chiefs address it or don't address it today.
Well, it's become more of a need, though, Josh, because Chris Jones is a zero right now for this organization.
You know, Bob, you know you're going to say something like that to me. I have to push back a little bit, right? Like, you know, this is our dance. And I will say for sure, this has not been the typical Chris Jones experience so far this season. Like, the stretches of dominant performances have not been there. And some of those big plays we've talked about have obviously not been plays that Chris Jones wants to put on his highlight reel. I would push back on zero, maybe not the salary cap payoff you want, given what his cap hit is this year. But I still think that the supporting cast around him has been just as, if not more, problematic than Jones himself so far. The unit altogether is struggling. Chris Jones is not saving it. That's fair. But I think a little bit more competence around him, I think, would make everybody's life a little easier, considering what his usage looks like right now.
Yeah, we saw the report, I'm sure you did too, of the Bills saying they watched a lot of film on Xavier Worthy and they could tell by body language what was coming. What say you when it comes to that tipping pitches as a wide receiver?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And also thought it was interesting is coming from a rookie across from him. I think that you've got to it can't reflect well on whatever you're doing leading up to that game, right, or whatever you're doing through more than a season with Xavier Worthy now. I think that's – if that's all accurate, maybe somebody will be asked about it in a couple of weeks. Obviously, the bye week, we're not going to hear from Matt Nagy anytime soon. But I saw that, and I thought, man, like, is that something that they really saw on tape that Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and Hunter Embry and, of course, Xavier Worthy didn't see popping as consistently? And, again, a rookie who's just recently made his NFL debut comes in and kind of immediately identifies that. It can't possibly reflect well on your self-scouting there. And that's, frankly, nice to know ahead of the bye week. I'm sure Xavier Worthy has seen that snippet as well. So maybe there's some growth to be had there. But it seemed like for a lot of the night, the Bills had the Chiefs' number. I don't think they, had every tell across the book. But it does seem like they were really on their toes, and the Chiefs really felt like they were on their heels offensively on Sunday. And that's another example of why that may have happened.
You know, but also, too, looking at this team on offensively being on their heels, they should never be on their heels offensively at this point in time. It looked like they were on their heels from the moment they took the field on Sunday. It's like usually the Chiefs take a moment and they slow it down and they're okay with it. It looked like the moment got to them. And I thought we saw Patrick Mahomes trying to be Superman again, putting on that cape. It's okay not to be Superman. You can go be Batman. You can go be Ant-Man. You can go be somebody else. When he tries to be Superman at times, it just gets out of sorts. And that's what I saw on Sunday out of him.
Right, and it's tough because you're telling Clark Kent, like, hey, man, you don't have to be Superman, because he has had to so many times throughout his career, and he can be. He's one of the only guys who can do that. But to your point, you don't want him having to do that for, you know, a petty crime on the street, if you will, to extend the Superman analogy. And I think what we saw against Buffalo, I'll go back to the O-line, and this is why I really am selling a little bit of optimism here. Like, I'm buying it. I'm selling it to you. A case for optimism. By the end of that game, the Chiefs had one healthy starting offensive lineman. Creed Humphrey in the middle was still healthy, and he's a starter. Everybody else was either playing through something, even Kingsley getting banged up late in that game, or they had a backup out there for them entirely. Jalen Moore's obviously not your day one left tackle. Lonnie Morris finishes the day at right tackle, and Trey Smith's just badly. I mean, it was not a good day for Trey Smith, and I don't think that's because Trey Smith stinks now. I think it's because Trey Smith's trying to protect Patrick Mahomes and move bodies in the trenches with a back issue that will hopefully benefit from an extra week of rest. So I maintain some optimism there. I do not think that that's going to snowball quite in the way we've seen it before, but it really, at this point, it's pretty easy to connect those dots of, like, okay, we got the Tampa Super Bowl, we got last year's Philly Super Bowl, we've got the issues in the offense last year, and I think when Mahomes loses a little bit of faith in that offensive line, that's when you start to see him, perhaps, this is, you know, perhaps overreacting, I guess would be the word, like in a very literal sense, when he sees that flash of color, instead of going, oh, okay, well, that's Josh Simmons or Juwan Taylor or Jalen Moore or Kingsley or Trey Smith or Creed, they're gonna catch this and clean this up before it disrupts the play. Well, you get a few times when it does quickly disrupt the play, and again, I think that faith diminishes a little bit in his protection. He's more likely to choose to leave the pocket, where again, he's the best quarterback we've ever seen when he does that, but you'd still rather not have to see him doing that as often as he did against Buffalo, and often doing that when the pressure is on the way, but not necessarily 100% disruptive at the point when he bails. So I guess that's the thing that's slightly heartening about the Bills' loss, is that I think it's relatively obvious, relatively simple what happened to the Chiefs' offense in that game, and it's something that I don't think is going to continue being a problem, because I think when the Broncos game comes around in less than 2 weeks, I think we're going to see Josh Simmons at left tackle, it sounds like, he's back in the building. And then on the right side, either Juwan Taylor's healthy enough to go, or Jalen Moore moves to right tackle, and I feel okay about either of those guys there. So that's my case for optimism on the offense, despite the fact that I was very, very frustrated watching that offensive performance on Sunday.
Had a take earlier, Josh, about the separation from the 1 seed to the 8 seed being the Chiefs 8, Colts 1 in the AFC picture. Pretty slim. Who's the team that has the biggest upside, in your opinion, that could be the biggest factor against the Chiefs in the AFC picture?
I mean, I guess I'm going to say it's the Bills. They have the head-to-head, obviously, now, and I think I have my questions about the Patriots, who will absolutely be a playoff team, but I'm very curious to see if they can hold serve as the season goes on. That's the problem now, though, with Buffalo, is that even a tying up of the records does not get the Chiefs back to the 1 seed. Again, if I'm spinning positive today, I don't know, it's just that it's Tuesday and I got all my negative feelings out yesterday. The interesting thing in the AFC West is that if not accounting for the rest of the season, when the Chiefs have to, you know, keep handling their business or start handling their business, if the Chiefs sweep the Broncos and beat the Chargers, all of that is knotted back up again. That they could actually even the playing field plus the rest of the schedule. So I feel okay about the AFC West still being in play. I'm not really sure. I think it was Nick Bolton after the game talking to Dana or Kling, and somebody asked, it was like in a media scrum, and somebody asked, I think it was Bolton again, are you expecting to see this team again in the playoffs? You see this team so often. Well, how do you think about that? And Bolton said something along the lines of like, well, yeah, we do. But, you know, honestly, right now we can't be thinking about playoffs. We got to be thinking about getting another game over 500 and trying to stay in this AFC West picture. And I think that's probably the right headspace for them to be in. It's been a very long time since the Chiefs team has had any real reason to think about it that way, to think about a comeback in the AFC West. But in a very literal sense, that's where they're at. And if they lose to the Broncos in 2 weeks, I think we probably just turn our focus to wild card standings, which would be a pretty strange place to be in mid-November.
Yeah, but it may be the reality of this team because, you know, whatever it is, they're very talented, but it's not working at this moment on the field where it needs to be working. And maybe that's something you get figured out to buy. I mean, we got Andy Reid with a week off, man. It's got, like, a lot's going to get done. And I'm sure Andy Reid isn't going out there and taking time off. I'm sure him and that coaching staff, maybe they get a break on a Friday or something. But they're going to be back in there all week trying to figure this thing out because, you know, you're sitting at 5-4, you got 9 games through the season, you got half your season left. There's plenty of season out there, but things have to start clicking, things have to start working in their favor, and they've got to figure out a way to do two things: run the ball and stop the run, and commit to both of those. And I think that's ultimately where we fall short a lot of the times, is that commitment to stopping the run and that commitment to running the football. I need both from this team in the final half of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to start on the defensive side, because I think everything you said there about like this bye week self-scouting thing also very much applies to Steve Spagnuolo.
No doubt.
And when we know in that Buffalo game, hey, what went wrong defensively? Well, the tight ends had 4,000 yards. Yep. That's a problem. And so I do think, maybe it's Silver Lining Tuesday. I do think that having this happen before the bye, when you get as undressed as they've gotten at full strength, at least, obviously the first couple of weeks, it was weird and kind of janky, and the Jags game was infuriating. But the Bills game, like, the better team won that game on Sunday. I don't think anybody has any question about that. So if you're Steve Spagnuolo and you're looking at the day that Drew Tranquil had, are you having to protect him in coverage against tight ends? Is there another way you can go about that? Or was that two bad plays from Tranquil where he loses his footing and then gets picked over the middle? Or is that something you say, hey, you know what, Jaden Hicks, you got 4 snaps against Buffalo. We're going to start seeing more of him in some of these sub packages. I don't know if that's going to be the lever, if it's following more Noel Williams and having Trent McDuffie in the slot, or maybe Spags looking around saying, you know, having McDuffie in the slot more didn't help our run defense with James Cook. I will say I also remain optimistic on the run defense for the most part. James Cook is the first number one running back this year to have a successful day against the Chiefs. Saquon Barkley was in that category. I think he was 22 for 88 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Saquon had a good day. James Cook was the first to go over 100 yards for number one running back. Justice Hill was stretching the rest of the stats in his garbage time touchdown. So I do think there's even more case for optimism there. I think getting pressure on the quarterback, especially that front four, is a huge concern. And then actually mentioning, like you said, the Chiefs having some commitment to running the football. Nobody's asking Andy Reid to just go full ground and pound, HB dive, HB dive, HB dive. But the running game was working against Buffalo by and large. The Chiefs and Bills rushing stats were remarkably similar. Kareem Hunt, 4.5 yards per carry. James Cook, 4.2. The Chiefs ran for 4 yards a carry. So did the Bills. The Chiefs' success rate and EPA per play running the ball was right there neck and neck with Buffalo, and they just never I don't want Kareem Hunt getting 20 carries most of the time, but if you're going to give me maybe a carry on third and fourth down on that sequence the Chiefs didn't convert, maybe you're going to have a few more chances to just set that tone early in the set of downs. Set yourself up for a second and five and see if Kareem Hunt can lean in that way. Again, it's not your plan A. You don't want to run back the offense that we saw last year. And if it was Isaiah Pacheco, he and Kareem Hunt are combining for more than 11 carries that Hunt got. Clyde and Rashard Smith, it's just not, they're not getting real running back work in quite that way. And again, Clyde getting the call up over Elijah Mitchell is kind of confusing. So I still struggle to see the picture in the ground game, because you're also, in some of these important circumstances, you're handing the ball to Kareem Hunt out of shotgun, which is not his best work. It's not his best circumstances, and it isn't for Pacheco either. So I think there needs to be, maybe that's my big hope for the bye week, that when they come out against Denver, that we see a real wrinkle in the running game that allows them to lean on it a little bit more often. I don't mind, for what it's worth, when Rashee Rice is replacing the running game, when you end up with some screens to Rashard Smith to do some of those short yardage pickup, play in the passing game situation. I'm okay with that when it's working, but that wasn't the counter against Buffalo either. This wasn't a game where Rashee Rice had 12 targets and 8 or 9 catches. It wasn't replacing the running game with short Rice stuff. It just felt like nothing was working, and that was a very, very frustrating thing to watch.
Yeah, talking to the pre- and post-game show host on the Chiefs Radio Network, Josh Briscoe. Last one, we asked Danan, halfway through the season, midterm grade, what do you give this Chiefs team?
Probably, it's hard to say anything over like a B-. Maybe that's a little bit. I'm curious what Danan said. Because
C.
I was thinking C+, B-, in that kind of range. I think I give him a little bit of credit for surviving the Xavier Worthy thing while also not having Rashee Rice. Like, I think getting out of those, if you would have obviously asked me before the Bills game, who would have done the grading then, I think I would have probably added another grade or half grade. But I don't know. I think that's probably right. I can't imagine that anybody in that building is giving them anything over a C+. So maybe I'll lean on that. But they lost a few points off the GPA against Buffalo for sure.
So what did you give them then?
I'll give them a C+. So I can say I'm more optimistic than Danan.
I don't know what that was. So we got a C+ and a C from both of those guys that watch this game more than anybody else in the city. Briscoe,
how can you give them a higher grade though? I don't think they're wrong.
Yeah. I respect it, man. You know, but C's get degrees, and hopefully they get a wild card spot as well. So, Briscoe, we appreciate the time and enjoy the week off, my man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Look, we just got to get that GPA good enough. We're at midterms right now. We got to be in shape by finals week, and maybe things will be okay.
That's
appreciate
right.
it, fellas. Have a good one.
You got it. That is Josh Briscoe, host of the pre- and post-game show on the Chiefs Radio Network. So some tough grading from some certified professors here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, the inventor of the frozen burrito has passed away, plus the Royals' approach to the offseason. We'll discuss on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
All right. Back here on a Tuesday, for those who celebrate, congratulations. For those who don't, get laid, loser. So I wouldn't be doing my job. I didn't do the National Blank Day. National Chicken Lady Day.
I saw that last night, and I don't understand what that is.
Well, you know, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night.
Huh?
That's Atlantic City from Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, okay.
National Candy Day. That's weird.
Yeah, which is stupid.
National Chicken Lady Day. National Easy Bake Oven Day.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That's a good one.
National Play Outside Day today. Going to be 72 degrees and beautiful. But I did do some extensive research for you only, Bob Fesco. So you had mentioned that the inventor of the frozen burrito has passed away.
He died.
And gone. So I went out there and I asked Alex Gold. I said, Alex, Bob has a question. Have you ever had a frozen burrito?
No.
And he goes, well, does Scooters count? Because their burritos are probably frozen. I said, no, have you ever gone to the store, bought a frozen burrito, and then made it at home? He just says, no.
Oh, my God. Costco's got these black bean and rice burritos that are like healthier for you, you know, that you can get. That you've seen them, right? Oh, yeah. They're fantastic. Have you ever had a frozen burrito, Dusty?
Of course.
Mac?
Of course.
I used to get the bomb at Quick Trip because they had the microwave there, and I'd throw that in there.
The dirty gas station microwave is the best.
You had about 5 minutes to get home.
Yeah.
You'd go in there and get a bomb burrito, a side of cheese, and a Gatorade, and that was your cure the next morning, baby.
Oh, my God. Yeah, side of cheese with that. Oh, my God. Nothing. Garbage can.
But now that they have taquitos, those are just skinny burritos.
That's right. Yeah, true.
But I told you, I was thinking about this. Like the inventor of the frozen burrito dies. My phone didn't stop for like an entire day. Every friend group, every text thread, everybody.
Mac, this is where we're headed.
You know, the frozen burrito.
This is life.
I mean, this is better. What are you texting about? DVOA with your boys, yes. Right? Like nerd, you know. We're talking about stuff that matters. The frozen burrito guy died. Where would we be without the frozen burrito? I mean, think about that. How many people eat those frozen burritos constantly? I've been eating them since I was a kid, whether it's at lunch, whether it's at dinner. You had mentioned the breakfast one. The breakfast one's out.
They suck. They're never good.
If you're buying a frozen breakfast burrito, the eggs are always going to be mealy, and it's probably powdered eggs at that point inside that thing. Stay away from the frozen breakfast burritos.
Never cooks all the way through.
Never
cooks all
the way through.
Frozen still.
Yeah. Yeah. But the frozen burrito has been a staple in everybody's life. And then this guy died. I didn't realize we had an inventor of the frozen burrito, right? I mean, that's what did you do? I invented the frozen burrito. You are God. Thank you very much for inventing this thing. I mean, they were a staple when I was younger, and you could buy boxes of them for no, you know, cost on the dollar. You get a bean frozen burrito, stick that thing in the microwave. That was dinner. And I said to Dusty, I go, I guarantee you everybody in the world has had a frozen burrito with the exception of Alex Gold. And I stand on that.
Well, you don't have to. It's there.
No, but I mean, I we could survey everybody, and everybody has had a frozen burrito.
Yeah, everybody talks about the El Monterey's.
Those ones, yeah.
They're like that big. You put two in there. Once they're about done, you put the shredded cheese on top. Let it melt. Look like you had a Mexican cuisine,
hell yeah,
baby.
For 99 cents, you got that thing in, man.
Somebody says the bomb burrito with a side of cheese is diabolical.
I mean, but seriously, who has had a bigger impact on our life? Andy Reid or the guy who invented the frozen burrito? It's the guy who invented the frozen burrito.
You can't have either without either one. I'm sure Andy Reid's had a frozen burrito.
Absolutely he has. BBL stinky. You don't like them?
They just started making chili cheese chimichangas.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Would you rather have that or the chunky soup?
Neither.
The chili mac chunky soup.
That has 800 milligrams of salt in one spoonful?
It is brutal. Yeah, somebody says the El Monterey beef and green chili frozen burritos are awesome.
Hell yes, they are.
I bet my stepdad still has a sleeve in the freezer of the El Monterey frozen burritos.
I mean, everybody's been impacted by them.
Even Maloney, the bomb burritos are at QT double flex.
Double flex for the bomb.
I'm telling you, man, it was great back in the day when you were like 14 and you didn't have to worry about anything. And you're like, oh, bomb burrito, $2.99. While I'm waiting for it to be done, side of cheese.
Yeah. Side of cheese.
Oh, God.
You better believe it. I mean, I got a rotten gut.
Yeah.
So
that guy did it. I mean, he impacted every single one of us. So I just want to pour a little out today for our frozen burrito inventor and saying thank you for making life better.
No doubt.
You think that his casket was a burrito?
Probably.
That'd be sick.
I mean, like, is there one thing like
people has to be burrito? He tucked in. Like when you were a kid, did you love to be the burrito tuck?
Yeah. I still like to do that as an adult. I'm not gonna lie.
Nude.
Exactly. I didn't say I was wearing clothes. I said I'd like to be tucked in like a burrito. I didn't say I was, you know, wearing pants.
Smash.
But like this frozen burrito guy, man, like legitimately touched all of us. Every single one of us has benefited from the frozen burrito guy. Nobody's benefiting over the DVOA guy.
Oh, I mean,
Mac maybe.
Yeah, speak for yourself there. Yeah,
at least he's not touching us.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you want a burrito? Not anymore.
No, I do. Give me it.
Speaking of gut, what does your gut say about the Royals' approach this offseason?
Well, here's what we're thinking right now. The gut is telling me that we're going to have a work stoppage of some sort at the end of next year, right? There's going to be a lockout. And that doesn't mean we're going to miss games or spring training, but there will be a lockout at the end of next season. But I've also been doing my research, if you will, and reading a lot about what's going on in baseball, and there seems to be a little bit of a standoffish kind of like owners wanting to give out long-term deals because we don't know where the landscape of baseball is going to be in 2027, right? And so the last thing you want to do if you're a business owner is sign somebody to a long-term contract when all the rules are changing, right? So I feel like there's going to be a lot of one-and-dones out there on the market this year. There's going to be a lot of guys that are taking one-year free agent deals because we don't know what the landscape of baseball is going to be. This is where the Royals need to be aggressive. Unlike the Chiefs, the Royals have a what we call a go-for-it year. We talked about it last year. The Chiefs should go for it. Man, they've got three Super Bowls. They've got all these championships. They've got all that. The Royals don't. The Royals really should use next year as an all-in go-for-it year, blow out the Jets, clean out the bank account, go out there and sign every possible free agent bat that you can get on the market, and go out there and really go all-in for 1 year, because after next season, we don't know what's happening in Major League Baseball. And the Royals, it's been over 10 years now since they last won a world championship and, you know, advanced that far into the postseason and whatnot. So I feel like this is the offseason that if you're John Sherman, you tell JJ and guys, here's a blank check. Go out there and take care of business. Sign everybody to a one-year deal and let's go balls to the wall and see what happens. Why not? You got nothing. You're not in long-term deals.
So go get Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
YOLO.
Because he's
true.
Because Kyle Tucker would go against stuff that you stand on, which is why pay the guy that's aging. You know?
1 year? I'm in on 1 year deals.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I'm definitely in on 1 year deals. Like the guy that I really think would be a nice fit here would be, you know, Bo Bichette. Mm. Put him at second base.
Good God.
He's a free agent, man. Hey, you want to come play next to Bobby and Mike Kell and Vinning?
I mean, he'd be a gold. You'd have possibly gold at second. You know, you have gold at short and third with Mike Kell and Bobby.
See?
Yeah,
you figured out second base real fast. Bo Bichette's a free agent.
Yeah,
that's a target for me.
I think they said his market's going to be somewhere around like $180 million.
Pay it. Yeah. But again, are these owners going to get into these long-term contracts? Some will, obviously.
Also, you have the repercussion of what could be in 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we're talking about
this. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, with Bo Bichette, like, I don't know if he would still the youth that he has if he would sign the 1 year.
Oh, if he would sign a 1 year deal. Maybe not, you know, but how many owners are going to be out there offering? Like, I feel like, and again, this is my perception of everything.
But you would believe they would trade a piece before they would buy a piece. Does that make sense? Like they would try to trade somebody to get somebody rather than go buy a free
normal
agent.
Market conditions, I would say yes. But if we're getting to the point where nobody's signing because everybody wants a long-term deal and owners are saying, we're not giving you a long-term deal with the impending work stoppage, then you have to go out there and take advantage of that market. I feel like, and again, my perception is that when Mike Moustakas hit free agency, we all thought he was going to get all these offers and he didn't. I feel like that's the way it's going to be for a lot of these guys this offseason in baseball. A lot of dudes think they're going to cash in, but with the uncertainty of what's going to be happening in 1 year, we're probably not going to have a lot of owners that are willing to open up the checkbook because we don't know what that labor situation is going to be like moving forward. So I do think there's going to be a lot of guys that take a one-year deal this year, and I think the Royals need to be very aggressive in that.
Can confirm my stepdad, a.k.a. Jeff Mann, he said, you know it. That there's a sleeve of Monterey Jacks in that freezer.
Hell yeah, there is.
I mean, dude, they're easy.
Smash.
And they awesome. Hit the spot every once in a while.
This text from the 816, sophomore year in college, got two bomb burritos from Come and Go. Microwave decided to stop working. Ate them both cold at 2 a.m., just double dipping into sour cream and salsa.
How drunk or other were you? Well, that is awesome.
This is how drunk. Found out in the morning that the microwave was fine. It wasn't plugged in.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my.
And it went through with it. I respect that move. Oh, yeah, it was still cold, and you still went in there.
Oh, God. I mean, I can just taste that cold burrito right now. I'm going,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Because you know it's inside the bomb.
Oh.
Neither do I.
Everybody's got a burrito story.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Coming up next, we get to Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow. Get in the know with Southland Tow. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.